Hello again, everyone. This is your host, Gerald Tostewarik. I'm a licensed realtor in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and you're listening to The Real World of Real Estate. And my guest today is Madeline Serafinchin from Jamin Homes, and we're going to talk today about the world of new homes. So, Maddie, go ahead and give us a little introduction.
Good morning, everybody. I am, as Gerald said, Madeline is my name, and I am actually the broker for the resale division of Jamin Built in the Edmonton region.
Okay, and you've been with Jamin quite a while, right, Maddie?
I have been with Jamin for, in January, it'll be 25 years. So, yeah, I have been in the new home industry as a realtor and doing the resale part of things for the builder. But I'm very involved in all aspects of it because I do market their spec homes and their show homes on MLS for them. So there's a lot involved in the new home industry that most people don't realize.
Excellent. Well, we've got a lot of the voice of experience here, so great. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit first about some of the trends in new home design, some of the trends that we're seeing. Do you want to take us away on that, Maddie?
Sure. So one of the big things that has been happening in new home developments is the zero lot line in the last few years. And that's basically so that developers can make the most of the land that they have. And so zero lot lines basically means that there's very little distance between you and your neighbor, and it's a new trend in the lot. The other thing that we're seeing as far as design is homes that are being designed to fit those lots. So they become a little taller, maybe a little thinner, skinnier, with some really interesting roof elevations. We get the slanted roof elevations and something that looks a little more modern. We're also seeing a lot of different color. There are some developments where the doors will have really bright colors on it and that. So seeing some of those trends.
Mm-hmm. I really like you mentioned the slanted with the roof designs. There's a lot of them where they look like they're flat roof, but they're not. And it kind of looks cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now,
exactly. It's really interesting elevations.
Now, you mentioned the zero lot line. Are you talking in particular about skinnies or even regular size homes are going to zero lot line?
Even regular size, some with our front attached garages are going zero lot line. It doesn't have to be the skinnies. It's just kind of a different look. It's a little more condensed look, but there are code requirements on those homes. So like the fireproofing in between and that kind of thing that has become part of the Alberta Building Code. And it gives people a little bit of peace of mind that even though you're a little closer to your neighbor, you're actually, the homes are built better than they were, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. So you're actually, it's not as much of a risk as people, sometimes I hear people say, oh, well, you know, we're too close, the fire risk. And then I proceed to tell them about the fireproofing and the code requirements that go into those homes.
Now, you mentioned zero lot line. In commercial, zero lot line literally means zero. Like some buildings built on zero lot line commercially, you couldn't stick a finger between them. It's not that close in residential, is it, or is it?
No, it's not. Basically, what it is, instead of the traditional way of placing a home on the lot where you've got like kind of 4 feet on each side, in this case, they are pulled over to one side, and you basically, you could be right on the lot line or within a foot or two of the lot line, and then it's just moving them over, and your neighbors moved over appropriately as well. So you still have distance between you on one side, just not as much on the other side. But the way they stagger them, there are distance between the houses.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying. They're basically putting them all, let's say, for example, kind of right up against the left-hand side, and they're consistent
exactly.
with that, so every home has space between it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I imagine part of the impetus behind this is how the city here, and many cities across North America, are going to higher density, higher densification. That's probably one of the drivers behind this.
Absolutely. It allows the developers to, you know, make more lots per block and it is to do with the densification of the newer developments. Because, I mean, in Alberta, we're a little spoiled. We have a lot of land, but, you know, the cities only go so far, and they want to try and maximize and make the most of the land that they're using.
Yeah.
Less services. The more you have to spread out, the more services are required.
That's true as well, yeah. Now, one thing, and I don't know if you know anything about this. I don't know much about it, but one of the newest trends, and it's a real kind of, I guess you'd call it a eccentric kind of a new thing, is some builders are building with sea cans. Have you noticed that or seen that?
I have seen that. I've seen some kind of in some of the older neighborhoods, like around the Mill Creek area, there's a few sea can houses. They're quite interesting. It's definitely something that I think is what I would call an acquired taste. I mean, it appeals to a certain demographic. But the ones, there's two facing Mill Creek Ravine in the Avonmore area that I know of specifically, I can think of off the top of my head. They both have rooftop decks and with hot tubs, and then they overlook the ravine. So it's really kind of cool. It affords a lot of different kind of possibilities to personalize the homes.
And does it help keep costs down? Is that one of the things with behind sea cans?
No, but it's more of a reuse, you know, a recycle type of mentality that goes into it. Those homes sell for as, almost as much as anything else in there, so I don't think cost keeping costs down. I think it's just the appeal to a certain demographic of the reusability of the sea can and, you know, doing the environmentally safe thing.
So they've been building skinnies now for, I don't know, probably 10 years, somewhere in that time frame. Are there any unintended surprises coming out of skinnies? Anything they're finding that they didn't expect, good or bad?
Well, one of the things, like when you're referring to skinnies, I'm assuming you're referring to infill, so you're going into older established neighborhoods. So I think some of the unintended consequences, you're changing the look and the feel of those neighborhoods.
Yeah, you know what, Maddie? I should clarify for the audience before you go further. Sorry, yeah, we throw terms around without thinking. The term skinnies, at least in our area, means generally the older neighborhoods of the city. There were some very big lots by today's standards, 50 feet wide, and they're being, the city's allowing them to be subdivided into two 25-foot lots. And so they're building houses, I think they're something like 17 feet wide on these home on these lots. So sorry, I just wanted to clarify for the audience what I meant by skinnies. So go ahead, sorry.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect. So basically with the infill properties, some of the what you refer to as unintended consequences is it changes the look of the neighborhood. Like if you've got 50-foot lots, like you were just saying, all down the block, and then someone subdivides and builds two skinny homes, most of those 50-foot lots probably had a big bungalow on them in some of the older areas. Maybe some had, you know, a bigger two-story, but then all of a sudden you've got these two skinny homes that are there, a little different elevation. A lot of the really good builders are trying their best to blend them into the neighborhood, and that's good. Some of the other unintended things that happen has to do with the services. You're going into a neighborhood where the services are older, so you have to take that into consideration when you're building these homes, that the, you know, you're dealing with older sewer lines and older areas. So there can be some things that pop up through that. But mostly I think that the people that are buying these homes are people that want the walkability. They want to be in an older neighborhood with maybe some established parks and schools and that kind of thing. And they want that walkability factor that they can, their kids can walk to school, they can go to the park, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I really, you know, it's still early on. It's still, maybe there'll be more unintended consequences. But I really like the way cities are going in North America, at least, I guess, for lack of a better word, toward a more European design with more walkability, a little more density. They're, you know, some of the calming, traffic calming things they're putting in so that to make the neighborhoods more vibrant. It's a real, I don't know, it seems to be, I'm liking the trend. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's really cool that you can get a new home in an established neighborhood. To me, that's the best kind of recycling that we have, right? You can buy a brand new home. You get all the benefits of that new home and the warranties and everything that are in place. But you're in an established neighborhood where you can walk out to the ravine. And like I said, kids can walk to school.
Yes. Okay, well, let's, anything else you're in, before we switch gears, anything else in new home design that you can think of interest?
Yeah, it's like one of the things that I see happening and that our company is doing a lot of is the energy efficiencies are being built in. We're currently building a net zero home for the Edmonton area. We've got one in the Calgary area. In the last couple of years, our standard has become solar panels, triple pane windows, high efficiency furnace, tankless hot water, all of those things that make the home much more efficient in terms of the energy used.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is your standard for the net zero, not for all homes.
No, it's our standard for all homes.
Oh, wow.
We're building a net zero. Yeah, our standard is now we offer the energy efficient package on every home.
Oh, wonderful. So that's mm-hmm. actually a good little segue into the next topic I had. Popular features in today's market in the new homes, some of the newer features or more popular features you're seeing coming out.
Yeah, and those are some of them. Like I said, the energy efficient features, the kind of the kitchens and bathrooms remain really important parts of the home, and the big trend towards using gas ranges, built-in ovens, you know, that kind of thing. Kitchen design, almost every home now offers granite counters and lots of cabinets, pantries. I mean, those are kind of standard for everybody, but we're seeing the trend to the bathrooms too being you know, a few years ago, Jack and Jill bathrooms were the big thing. We're seeing that is still a trend, but what's happening is a lot of times the builders are separating the vanity sink area from the, you know, kind of the tub and toilet area. So it's making it more user friendly, and you can have more than one person getting ready in the morning kind of thing. Attached laundry rooms to walk-in closets off the master is a big trend, and that makes sense. Like having the upstairs laundry, that's where all the laundry is generated typically, so it makes a lot of sense.
Interesting. Any other popular features you can think of or new things coming down the pipes? What about the open design? I imagine that's still as popular as ever.
Open design is very popular. Everyone likes that. We've really gone away from formal dining rooms and even den areas. A lot of times what is happening is the builders are putting in a desk in you know, tucking it into a nook somewhere on the main floor, kind of a built-in desk. But you don't necessarily need a full-on den anymore. So they're keeping it really open. The open to below, that's a big design feature right now too. Even atop, we've got one design where the open to below is atop the kitchen island kind of thing. So, and you've got skylights above, so it brings that light right down into the kitchen. It's a really cool design.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're thinking of a lot of things. I guess there's more things you can do with an open design, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Anything else on the feature side of things?
I don't think so. I think that, like I said, the kind of spa-type bathrooms with double showers, very European style. You referred to that earlier, Gerald, and the European-style showers where you don't need the shower curtains or doors. There's a solid glass, and then kind of you can access the shower from either side. The rain shower heads, those kinds of things, like very luxurious kind of spa-like en-suites are a big trend.
I remember when we were in France a few years ago, and we rented kind of like an Airbnb apartment. And speaking of European styles, the shower was so small, I had to go outside to change my mind. it was unbelievably small, bumping up against the sides. It was really, really interesting. Are they going more toward the space efficiency?
Not so much, because probably the house that you were in might have been an older home or something. We're building the bigger Like the en suites are bigger, the master bedrooms are bigger, and everything's kind of bigger.
Yeah. Oh gosh, everything there is like 300 years old. But,
exactly.
All right. So what about some of the popular styles we're seeing these days? Obviously, two stories are popular for the reason we talked about earlier, maximizing space. Eventually, you have to go up. So you might want to talk about that. I'll let you talk about popular styles.
Okay, so two stories are really popular with families because that's the best way to maximize the space. You know, it's kind of box on box. You've got the it going up on the lot, and with the lot sizes, two stories are really popular with the lot density becoming increased. We've got the baby boomers, of course, the generation that's starting to retire and downsize away from the family homes, are looking for bungalows. And that's kind of always been the case. We're building some really nice bungalow designs, even with elevators in. We've got a design that that includes an elevator, so that if you have somebody who has decreased mobility or some kind of issues, that way they can stay in the bungalow.
Wow.
And access them. Walkout basements are big on the bungalows, and our company has built, we've been 40 years in business, so they built a design that was popular back in the 80s and 90s, brought it back and just kind of modernized it and made it really fancy. And you need a big lot for these bungalows. That's the only thing, is you need to be in a large building pocket.
Right. Commercially, elevators are prohibitively expensive. Any idea what they're adding to the cost of a bungalow for a residential elevator?
I've been told somewhere between $6,000 and $10,000, Gerald, but don't quote me on that. I'd rather not be specific about that.
Yeah.
The elevators are small. Like they're basically probably, they're about 3x3, basically. They're quite small, and it's just the one floor. So they're not horribly expensive, but yes, there is more upkeep. There is a cost to that for sure.
Even if that is reasonably accurate, that's nothing. Commercially, you're looking at $100,000 to $300,000 for an elevator, more. It goes up from there. So that's amazingly affordable.
Yeah, no. You know what? I'm going to get a cost before we're finished here.
Oh, cool. Okay. What about, I noticed there's at least one builder that's building a community of one-bedroom homes, catering obviously to the mature boomer generation. And when up until now, right, three bedrooms is it for resellability. Is that something up and coming, or what are your thoughts? Any thoughts on that? Do you know anything about this latest thing here?
Yeah, we have actually a one-bedroom bungalow. Now, keep in mind, that's one bedroom on the main floor.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there'll be one bedroom and maybe a flex room that could be used as a den or something. Oftentimes, when we're building that one bedroom on the main floor, the basement is being developed with another one or even two bedrooms for guest rooms. So we do have those designs as well, the one bedroom. And it is a trend, if you're trying to make the most of the space.
Interesting. Yeah, that caught me by surprise when I went to the show home and it was a one bedroom. That was, I think, last year. And I had heard nothing of that until I walked into the show home. What about bi-levels? They've been fairly popular for a number of years. Now, how are they doing?
You know, the portfolio that my builder offers, we don't really have a bi-level, and we don't really have a split level anymore. I mean, they can be, we have one plan where it's a two-story, but you walk in kind of at grade level and you go up, the great room's on grade level, and then you go up to the dining and kitchen about 6 or 8 steps. So that's kind of the closest we have to a split or a bi-level right now.
Oh, interesting.
I think a lot of builders are getting away from those plans because, I'm sure they'll come back. Everything goes full circle, right?
Yes.
As much as they may not be popular right now, in a few years they'll be popular again.
Okay. All right. Anything else in popular styles? Anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think that's, like I said, the bungalow and the two-story are the most popular styles.
Cool. Okay, well, let's make a big gear switch here, and let's now talk about when buyers are buying new homes, the process, some of the common buyer mistakes that you see when they're buying a new home, some of the things, hey, be aware of this, be prepared for this.
Okay, so one thing when a buyer is looking at a new home, if you're working with a realtor, you need to take your realtor in with you the first visit kind of thing. And people will say, like, do I need a realtor? I would recommend it because the realtor will represent your interest. Keep in mind that the salesperson in the builder's show home works for the builder. They're an employee of the builder. So they, their first loyalty is, of course, to their employer. So a buyer should come in with someone representing them. It's not that you might get a better deal or anything else necessarily. It's that you have someone representing and explaining the process to you. And it's always good to check with a realtor that they have some experience with new homes, because there are a number of things to kind of watch for. So some of the kind of common things is the whole GST explanation, right? You do pay GST on a new home. However, most builders price their homes with net GST built in. So the government of Canada offers a GST rebate when you're buying a residential property up to $450,000 price before GST. So the builders will figure out that net cost after the rebate, what would it actually add to the price of the house. And that's what they charge you. And then you just assign the rebate to the builder so that they get that. The GST rebate is only available to people who are actually going to be living in the property. So if you're buying what you might term a revenue property, you're going to buy something to maybe rent out, then you don't qualify for the GST rebate, and you're going to be stuck at closing with this extra amount of money that you owe because the builder will ask you to pay it. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. There's things like landscape deposits that some buyers aren't aware of, that many areas, anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 landscape deposit is required by the developer, and you have to pay that up front. They hold it till your landscaping is done. You get it back, but you do have to come up with that money up front. So, you know, that's one of the things that to watch out for as well. And then just in general, what's best use of your money? Buying as much square footage and the lot that you like, those are two things you can't change later easily. So you want to get the location that you want. If you have to pay extra for that lot, I would do it rather than putting upgrades into the home, because those things can be done later. You can add hardwood later. You can add, the granite later. You can add all that other stuff later, but you can't change the location, and it's hard to add square footage without it being a major expense.
Oh, that's a great idea. So basically, when someone's going to buy a home, they've got a little extra. Do I put it into the lot, or do I put it into the features? Mm-hmm. And you're saying put it into the lot or the square footage.
Yep.
And or the square footage and the features you can always do afterwards, but you can't make the lot bigger afterwards. That's a great idea. Now, you mentioned about getting a better deal without a realtor. Do buyers generally get a better deal without their realtor?
No. Any realtor that belongs to the Builder Realtor Cooperative in Edmonton has said that they offer one price. It doesn't matter if you bring a realtor or not. So it's not that you'll get a better deal, but you'll have someone representing you throughout you will help you in negotiations if your builder is going to negotiate. Some builders don't. So it's not that there's a two-tier price. It's not that you're going to get a better price going in without a realtor, for sure. But you just have to keep in mind, like I said, the salesperson works for the builder, and you want someone representing you.
Yeah, and they're like any other business person. You have a business to run. You have to make a profit.
Yep.
They're going to, like everyone else, they're going to try and make a reasonable profit.
Yep.
They'll, of course, take care of their customers, but yeah, I understand. Okay. And so good point on the GST. Go ahead, Maddie.
I was just going to say, I did find out a price on the elevator. It's approximately $25,000 on a residential elevator.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thank you very much. You mentioned the GST rebate. What about our builders getting involved in the new trend to have renters in your basement? Are they getting involved in that, building basements suitable for that?
Yes. Legal suites are also a trend, and builders are definitely offering side entrances where you can kind of customize later, or doing basement development with a suite with a second kitchen and that. Just be careful with that, because you still have to go through the city for the permits to make it a legal suite. I've seen basements that were developed kind of to be a suite, but they're not legal because the city didn't they didn't follow all the requirements of the city. So you really, if you're having a builder do that for you, you want to make sure that the permits are in place and that they're following what the city requires.
Yeah, that's a very important point. A lot of folks don't realize that the property has to be zoned for it. You have to go into the city and make your application, and it has to go through the application process. But even more importantly, in these days, it's becoming more and more relevant, more and more important, is that insurance companies may not cover you if anything happens and you had a tenant in an illegal basement suite.
Exactly. So it's so important to have it all done. And not all suites that are developed, even by builders, they're not all legal. And so it's definitely a process that has to be followed, and you need to have the city permits and inspections done afterwards to make sure that if you're calling it a legal suite, it is in fact a legal suite because of the insurance implications. That's a good point too, Gerald.
Yeah. And I believe they're most clients just talk to your real estate agent and be able to help you, guide you through the process a little bit, but they're going to have to go through it themselves. Eventually the city won't, as a real estate agent, we can't go in and do it for them. We can just help guide them through the process.
Exactly.
So, and you may or may not know the answer to this, but I'm guessing it's probably a non-issue. But so if you're buying a home, the government offers a GST rebate. The builders price that into the home. So any buyer buying a home, the rebate will go to the builder. But the bottom line at the end of the day, the buyer pays a little less. If they're buying a revenue property, there is no GST rebate because it's not it's not their primary home. It's an investment. What if they're buying a primary home that's designed to have a tenant in the basement? Is there any adjustment to the rebate?
As far as I know, as long as your primary residence is in the home, you still get the rebate.
Okay.
So I think the suite wouldn't change that as far as I know.
But we should clarify here, always, 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 GST issues, talk to your accountant or your tax lawyer.
Absolutely.
Because they're very complex issues, and we can't possibly give a definitive answer on that one. So, but it sounds like you haven't run across that you can recall. So.
No, not at all. And I'm, as far as I'm aware, as long as you're living in the house, as long as it's your primary residence, you qualify for the GST rebate.
Okay. Perhaps one more reason it's good to have your own agent going in with you is I believe virtually all builders of any substance will use their own forms, their own offer to purchase forms, correct?
Yeah. They use the warranty home contract. So Alberta New Home Warranty has a contract that the builders that are part of that program will use. And they're very complex, because if you're doing a pre-sale, which is building from scratch, then there's a lot of things to consider, the changes, it's pages and pages of contract. If you're buying an available home or a spec home from a builder, a lot of times, if you're going through the realtor, you can use the MLS forms.
Okay. And the MLS forms, for those that aren't familiar, it's the general form that real estate agents use, made for us by the lawyers of the Alberta Real Estate Association, and actually very, very fair forms all around. I like them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're really good.
Okay. Well, one more topic, the new home market. Anything else to add about buying a new home, mistakes, working with anything else, common things to think of?
When you're buying a new home, I think the one thing that you should keep in mind is to listen to the builder's representatives, because they're the experts, and they will help you make the right decisions a lot of times people have their own ideas and they don't want to listen to, you know, what someone else does about that. And that's when, you know, you can end up making a mistake when you're building. So the builders have kind of, they have plans that almost always can be modified somewhat to suit you, but they're definitely standard plans for a reason, because the designs make sense and there's no design flaws in them.
Excellent point. Okay, cool. Well, let's now talk about the current new home market. How is the new home market in the Edmonton area these days?
It's been challenging, just like the resale market. However, over the past few couple months, things have picked up quite a bit. The builders had a lot of standing inventory at the beginning of this year, where there were a lot of spec homes, available homes that were in the ground waiting to be sold, and a lot of them have been sold. We're seeing sales on MLS anywhere from averages around 12 to 15 per week kind of thing, and our inventory has dropped down 10% since middle of March, beginning of March. So that means that it's being absorbed. So there's still a lot of choice out there. There still are homes that you can find, available homes, but they are definitely being absorbed and being bought.
Well, good. So everything's picked up amazingly in the last month here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's good. Hopefully it lasts. Exactly. Time will tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, July, August, I think we had what we experienced was kind of a delayed spring market along with a post-COVID market, because people were kind of cooped up and couldn't do much. So started in June, and then July and August were really busy. Now we're going into time of year when people start to think, well, snow's going to start flying. They want to make their moves and their decisions while it's still nice out.
Yes,
so we're going to get a little bit of a fall market.
A lovely little secondary fall market.
Yep, you bet.
Okay, so sounds like the new home market is fairly decent right now. I'm done with all my questions. The floor is open. Do you have anything that you were thinking about? Oh, I'd love to talk about this, or anything you want to add?
Well, what I'd like to add is just that the whole new home experience, like building a home, I honestly believe that everyone should do it at least once in their life, because it is such a great experience and can be a great experience. Making your choices, choosing the colors and the finishes and everything that goes into your home. I think that everyone should do it at least once and have that experience, because it's a lot of fun. It can be a lot of fun. It can be a little bit stressful, but, if you have a good builder, they'll help mitigate that stress as much as possible and make sure that you do enjoy the process. A lot of the builders, the old days, they used to send you out to the lighting store, to the appliance store, to the flooring shop, to everywhere to do your choices. But the builder that I work with, we have a design center right in-house. Where people can come in, they can choose everything. They don't have to go to another place to choose anything. All the samples are here. And I know of a couple other builders that have similar setups. So it's a great way to go, and it makes it a lot more fun.
Oh, that's great. I know when we actually built our first home, and it was exciting to move into it, to pick it, design everything. And that actually makes me think of another story that goes back to the importance of what you said a few minutes ago about listening to your builder's rep. I can't believe I'm going to admit this for all the world to hear, but I was young. I was in my 20s, so I can. But my wife and I, we went looking, and we just couldn't find a plan that worked for us. We wanted everything we wanted. So we said, we'll design our own home. So we did. I designed our own home, and it's really funny. I never thought of it. It never dawned on me, but 16 years later, we moved, and it was time to move to a different home, and it was so funny. I had a realtor open house, and this one realtor comes in, and he walks into the house, he looks around, he goes, "Who designed this?" So, and then he mentioned, I said, "I'm not sure." I said, "Why?" And he mentioned a couple of things I did that were so blatantly obvious when he said them, that were waste of space that I could have used better.
And it was quite comical. I didn't tell him I designed it, but it's true.
That's funny.
Listen to the builder's representative. Most realtors and most builder's reps work well together. It's true. Their designs are designs for a reason, right? So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Designs, like we have an award-winning design team that we win awards for our designs all the time. So most builders give a lot of thought and care. That's one of the biggest parts of the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Madeline, thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming out. It's been very informative. Jamin Homes, 40 years in the business, good reputation. Final comments before we're done. Anything?
I think that if you're going to be building a home, if you're going to go talk to builders, take your realtor with you to help you guide you through the process.
Okay, Madeline, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. It's been a pleasure. Thanks again. Take care.
Yep. Thank you, Gerald.
Well, that was really interesting and really informative. I definitely enjoyed that. Folks, I've got a lot of podcasts coming down the pipeline here, so might be increasing my publishing frequency for a while here. Maybe go the 10th, the 20th, and the 30th, maybe even weekly for a while here. I've got an interview with the chief economist of the Alberta Real Estate Association, Anne-Marie Lurie, coming up, where we talk about the current state of the economy in Alberta and maybe touch on a bit of the rest of Canada, talk about the effects of COVID, oil prices, where we've been, where we're going. So some really good topics there. Very interesting discussion with Edmonton City Councillor Andrew Knack, talking about the planning and development plans for the City of Edmonton Transportation Master Plan. Some really interesting, couple little surprises coming for us there. Definitely a very interesting interview. Going to pop the question about if there's going to be a run for the mayorship. Got a really interesting interview with longtime realtor Taras Schmiel, 40 years in the business, his whole life practically. We're going to talk about from when he was a young man on the farm there, slopping the chickens and milking the hogs, and before he became a realtor and spent his life in real estate. So we'll talk with him. Very interesting stories. Going to have Jeff Sutherland and Sid Waskowicz from Qualico Developments talking about the commercial industrial marketplace, what they see going on, what their thoughts on the marketplace are commercially and industrially. I'll be speaking with Valerie Gibbs, an investment counselor from RBC PH&N, going to talk about maybe you're selling your real estate, maybe you're retiring, maybe you want to know where else you can put your money. So we'll talk about some different alternative investment options. Going to have Sabrina Wilson from Consolidated Civil Enforcement going to be talking for the residential landlords in our first interview and then commercial landlords in our second interview, talking about how to prepare yourself, protect yourself, how to properly document things in your relationships with your tenants so that if things ever go south and you ever end up in court, you've got a much better chance of being successful. You'll have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted, and hopefully everything will work well for you. Speaking of landlords, we'll be speaking with Donna Monkhouse from the Alberta Residential Landlords Association. She's going to be talking about the multifamily marketplace with me, what the goings on. And I'll be speaking with Nathan Gettle from The Network. They are actually an appraisal firm that also have a very detailed database of all the commercial sales in at least in the Edmonton area, surrounding area, I believe maybe all of Alberta. So we're going to be talking about what they're seeing happening in the marketplace. So lots of good things coming down the pipe, folks. Stay tuned. We will see you soon. This is the Real World of Real Estate. Bye for now.